This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, I need all the original Battlestar Galactica episodes with Daggett.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for August 25th, 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. We are your podcast tabloid. We find the news and stories that nobody else in their right mind is going to cover. So that's us, having fun for you. Glad you joined us. If this is your first time listening to Technorama,
thanks. And we only have fun for you, but not for us.
None of this is for us. If you're new, thanks for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi. With me, as always, is that friendly, familiar voice, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm about Futurama'd out. I've been watching it all weekend.
You know what? So have I, and my daughter Julie joins us. How are you, Julie?
I'm Futurama'd out, too.
There's
good news, everyone. Nobody's watching.
Bad news, nobody.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a little bit. Hey, we want to remind you that you can solve people's technical issues quickly and effectively using Citrix GoToAssist Express, the wonderful way to do remote diagnostics over the internet. All they need is a web browser. All you need is like 2 minutes to go to GoToAssist.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. Do what I do and look like a hero. You can solve people's technical issues. It's real easy. I do this every day for customers. It's just so easy to bring up and see what's on their screen. You know what? And you don't even have to drive the keyboard. You can be telling them what to do, and they'll learn it better for next time. So you say, click on that for me, will you? And they go, oh, yeah,
they
okay.
They will learn?
Yeah, yeah. It's they'll teach a man to fish. Teach a man to click, and you browse them for a day. And
click. Yeah.
You get the idea. GoToAssist.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. It's wonderful. You got to try it. You have to experience the joy of that joy.
Hey, at work, in the same vein of teach a man to fish, I've got a Linus fish thing in my cube.
Linus? Oh,
Linus Torvalds?
Yeah, it took me a sec. All right, coming up in this episode of Technorama, we have Remember the Tauntaun Meat? Well, we've got the next best thing. You can also show your school spirit if you go to Geek High, and 528 vintage calculators, all that and more coming right out.
This is Phil Clark.
And this is Mike Lingefelter,
hosts of the pubcast from the Brit and Yankee. www.thebritandyankee.com.
Hey, Phil, are you the Brit with the bad British accent?
I should say so, Governor. But I'm trying to learn how to speak proper American now from this Technorama Craig guy. Listen to this. Hi, y'all. Come on down now and check out the Technorama Geek Fest.
Okay, Phil. Go back to drinking beer.
Yeah, okay. So it's season's greetings to all the Technorama gang from me.
And happy holidays from him. 101.
This is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics, author of the new book, Physics of the Impossible. Yet, I can't even figure out Technorama.
It's the holidays. Labor Day is a holiday, right?
I guess there's always a holiday nearby.
Right! That thing works all the time. Because it's like every day is a holiday in some country, so we're covered with that one.
Well, there's always a party in my head. I'm just kind of walking around with it.
And Dr. Michio Kaku has taken that book and turned it into a television show on the Science Channel, of which I need to put that on our DVR.
Have you seen it at all? Or did you
well,
just
Well, we didn't get the Science Channel until we subscribed for the digital package on the HDTV, so... Of course, it's going to be Science Channel HD that we're going to watch that. Right, Julie?
Right.
Right. Science Channel got good stuff.
Until school starts, then I'll get my science from a more reliable source, probably. So,
wow. Other than us?
Dad's just not cutting it anymore, and Technorama isn't it.
Yeah. Well, see, the Science Channel is kind of like the history of the military channel, but only with science.
I'm not drawing the connection, but we're going to go on anyway.
Okay.
Technorama is a team sport, and you are part of the team. We want to give a shout out to the chat room, since they're a big part of this whole thing. We've got me and you and AD Death Star, Ben Vaughn, Claudio Melmac, Geekazine, Krypton Tim, Nightstar, Funk from Gallifrey, and the Giant. I'm sensing... a planet theme. A
Funk
sci-fi.
From Gallifrey?
Well, he was Funkmaster originally, and then he changed his name. So now everybody changes their name back.
Yeah.
Now that we've given him a shout out. Thanks for joining us in the chat room. If you want to join us in the chat room and the live stream, we're around every Sunday night at 9 Eastern. We'd love to see you there. We should put out a tweet just to remind people. There's a pre-show that goes on, a little bit of chitter-chatter, a little bit of last-minute setup. You can find out how this crazy sausage factory works. Looking at the birthday factory, birthday calendar.
The baby factory.
Wow. Mess that one up.
Yeah.
Switch tracks. I'm on track 2. Birthday calendar. We've got August 27th is Chuck's forgotten iPod. And I honestly don't remember putting that in there. If what? I put it in there at all?
It's forgotten, of course.
Okay, that must be the clue. It's also Mike Noble in Pittsburgh, PA, August 30th. Happy birthday to Maximilian Bjorsten in Stockholm, Sweden. And the 31st is Tim Downing.
You say it like Bjorsten.
You work on that.
Maximilian. He said, man, that's like $1 million name right there. That's Maximilian Bjorsten.
And August 31st. Tim Downing from the High Potency Music Podcast. Happy birthday to everybody on the calendar. If it's your birthday this week and you're not on the calendar, well, you should be, so we can say hi to you next year. And wish you all a happy
birthday.
You got
to wait a whole year. You got to wait for the rotation.
You do. I mean, I'm not going to go back to, you know, August 12th if they just put it on yesterday.
Well, right? True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go to chuckchat.com/wiki and get your name out there. It's a lot of fun. There's also some other fun game stuff on that wiki people participating in. All right, that brings us to the canoes. Isn't that what he says?
Welcome to
good
the canoes.
Good news, everyone.
Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of that.
The the canoes. First up in the news, we've got new symbols. This is the internet edition of some new icons. You know how you drive down the street and... Well, we were talking about this last week. This is what I thought was so funny. When we were talking about the amusement ride, when it was like no pregnant women riding.
Oh, right.
Julie and
eating
I were translating.
Babies or something.
No eating babies. Right. So I saw these on notquitewrong.com. There's one that looks kind of like a yield sign. It's an inverted triangle with a bird in it. It says, caution, live tweeting. Well, Julie and I thought, caution, bird crossing. All right. There's one with a little dog that says, LOL. Danger, memes ahead. Julie, what would you say that sign looks like?
By the way,
laughing donkeys.
That'll work. Laughing donkeys. And the next one is a diamond shaped sign. Do not enter. Troll alert. Troll. Guy has got his. You know, it's one of those icons with just a circle head, and the guy's putting his arms up.
I was thinking field goal.
That's what I was thinking. electric field goal.
Yeah.
You got it. Of course, that wouldn't make sense to people who don't play American football, but oh well.
Yeah, and in the actual post, there's little graphics I guess you can download and put on your site, it looks like.
I think we should do caution live tweets. Can you think of any, Craig? You've got a crafty graphic mind. Can you think of any that might be fitting in there?
Yes, but it has the initials like BS.
It's got the cow making the little pile. there we go.
I like the one. Yeah, the one that has the bull and it has a little circle behind him.
Right. The steamy circle. All right, we want to let you know you can show your school spirit. You know how they have, you know, team mascots and T-shirts and things with bulldogs, badgers, you know, the Chiefs, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, sure. This is the D&D style of doing that. We've got the hurt monsters, the displacer beasts. And if you look at the graphic that Charlie's got up there, it's pretty good. The owl bears, the red dragons, the gelatinous cubes. Yeah, that sounds like a real ferocious wrestling team, doesn't it? The gelatinous cubes and the beholders. Now, I'm thinking they missed a few here.
Oh, really?
I would be more reluctant to, you know, wage competition in say track and field against maybe not track and field, but okay, that's a totally wrong one for what I was thinking of. The Carrion Creepers. That doesn't sound like a real fast track team.
Creepers.
Or the Orcs.
Yeah, the Orcs. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah.
We need some other D&D monikers that we could put on T-shirts and things that you would name your high school team after.
Go. Like a warrior mage, you know, with a name to go. Was it? I'm trying to think of a boy, no priest.
what was Bender's name in that movie we saw yesterday, Julie?
Titanius, something
from Cornwood.
Oh, corn. Yeah, Cornwood.
Fancy man
from Cornwood.
I'm Fancy Man from Cornwood.
Oh, just having fun. Not really news, but you know, if I was gonna make a new team, you know, the good thing about all these is you won't get sued for like, you know how a lot of teams had to change their name from the Redskins, and they went, oh no, you can't use that anymore. It's offensive to the Native Americans.
Yeah.
Well, no one's gonna come after you for the gelatinous cubes. And just, you know, think, every team picnic, you could bring Jell-O.
You know what that reminds me of? The gelatinous cubes. Remember that commercial for the Planet Express? And it had the blob come in there. Blob, why isn't my package? And he ate it, and the guy's like floating in the monster. You remember that?
Well, yeah, and the kid bully keeps doing that to Q-Bert. Like, just engulfs him. All right. We have the Hacks and Strange Stories. Are you ready, Julie?
Yep.
Hacks and Strange Stories! In the Hacks and Strange Stories, you remember we covered Tauntaun meat. I think it was AD Dude or Claudio sent us a link on this. Yeah. Well, this week we've got the next best thing. If you can't afford the Tauntaun meat or you missed it on ThinkGeek, we've got canned unicorn meat.
Oh, yeah, I think this is one of their April Fools.
It's delicious. Only $9.99. Excellent source of sparkles.
I like the glitter in the meat.
That, it's an excellent source of sparkles. You see that?
Yeah.
What else does it say on the can, Julie?
I can't read that.
Magic in every bite.
Oh, there it is.
Magic in every bite.
Now, Craig, can you read the side of the can?
Can I read the side of the can? I cannot.
It just says blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I see now. Yeah.
I think that's the best label I've ever seen.
Hey, look, it's from Radiant Farms.
Right.
A name you know you can trust.
Hey, by the way, if you click on the graphic, and you, I haven't seen this before. If you click on the graphic, it blows up.
Yeah.
Well, go to the next when you see a guy that's happy and he's eating it with a rainbow behind it in a bowl. If you click through, they actually show you the parts of the unicorn, like on a cow.
Oh,
they show
yeah. The hopes are in the head. The magic's in the unicorn.
Hugs are in the shoulder.
Dreams in the neck. Rainbows are in the butt.
Yeah. I'll have some kisses tenderloin.
I'd like the giggles mignon. Giggles mignon. This super glue.
I like how the rainbows are in the butt of the unicorn.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Julie's got that up on the screen already. Wow, you are fast.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. If you scroll down a little bit, the graphics are broken out too.
Oh, okay. Gotta get that unicorn meat stuck up on your vitamin sparkle.
Vitamin like, magic.
Like Geekazine was talking, he's mentioning the it's a triple rainbow.
Ooh. Because everything with a rainbow is good, right?
Have you seen that video where the guy's like freaking out over the double rainbow?
You know, I've heard double rainbow more times in the last couple weeks than I care to count.
Well, that's why. Because this guy, he's out in the edge of the wood, in the mountains somewhere, I think in California or something. And he's sitting there looking at it, it had been raining, and he looks out and he sees a rainbow, a complete one that goes from one side to the other.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, double rainbow. Oh my God, I can't believe it. And he's like freaking out over the thing. And people thought he was having sex the way he sounded, or having partaking in drugs or something, because they sounded so excited. But I saw an interview with him. He said, I just couldn't believe it. You know, it was, that's all there was to it. But,
he's never seen it before. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then people used auto-tune and tuned his voice to music. And I can't believe it. What does this mean? Oh my gosh. Yeah. It made a song out of it. Yeah.
Well, you know how, speaking of school.
Okay.
Everybody, you know how you had to always take those tests where you fill in the circles using a number two pencil? Well, you ever wonder what happened to the other pencil numbers and why we don't hear about them or use them too much?
Why?
Number two is the most famous. Well, we found a story, a t-shirt on woot.com that has the other pencils identified. The number one pencil looks like a paper airplane. The number two, of course, looks like a standard pencil that you use in school. Number three is more of a hammer-shaped thing, with the eraser being the hammer, a claw hammer. Number four is one of those remote grab handles for like picking up jars or, you know, cans of things out of your cupboards.
Yeah.
Number five is a baby bottle. Number six is an umbrella. Number seven is a double bit axe.
Hmm.
Number eight, an anchor. Number nine is a plesiosaur.
or I was going to say Nessie.
That's what they suspect Nessie is.
Oh, okay.
A pencil?
The Loch Ness pencil. Number 10 is a knife. Roberto's going to stab you, man. Number 11 is an airplane. And number 12 is, of course, a lightsaber. Which I think would be fun, because that little eraser thing would go jiggling all over the place.
That's long. Yeah. Put your pencil down.
Stand back. I will.
All number 12 down, test. Please.
Whoops.
Teacher, really said, take that away from him.
Teacher said down.
Do you have your license, sir?
I did pass the test.
Okay.
Is that it? That's it for the Hacks and Strange Stories, which brings us to Remember When. Do you remember when?
No.
I can't remember anything. I forgot.
You suffer from CRS.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
This show will give you CRS. First up, we've got 528 vintage calculators from vintage-technology.info. This is spectacular.
It is.
Because there are 128 different brands, 583. They must have added a few since I last looked, but I heard 28. 1970s vintage desktop and pocket calculators listed by company. Pick one, any one. Of course, he goes for the Concept 2000 robot-looking one first. And if you click on it, it shows how many models that company had. In this case, Concept 2000 only had one. Mr. Musical from 1979. And then it goes into the specs. How big it was. How much power. The case. The display.
I didn't click on the next one. I see.
When it came out. The components. How many capacitors and transistors and things it made. This is an amazing catalog of old calculators.
Hey, now, I want to know, where's my app for this?
Yeah, that'd be a good one. Now, I did look
just
under...
open up any calculator and start using it?
I was trying to find... My dad had one, and I'm still looking for it. I noticed they have the TI-30, but they don't have the TI-55. That may have come out actually later than 1970. I thought it was an old Unisonic, but I didn't see it in here. And they don't have my blackjack calculator from Radio Shack. That was the best, because you could play blackjack in school, and then the teacher would come along and go, "What's going on over here?" And I'm, "Oh, just do the math with the flip of a switch." But Julie and I dug into the Cosmos line.
And those are some good calculators.
Yeah, and she had a few comments about this. The Cosmos Astro not only multiplies, adds, subtracts.
Oh, it doesn't add, subtract. It just
multiplies. No. This one does.
The Astro?
Yeah, the Astro does.
Oh, okay.
You see the Cosmo line? I'm going to go back over there and look at it. Cosmo.
The Cosmo Astro. It looks more like an ohm meter.
But yeah, they were really reaching for some different designs on these calculators.
See these buttons? There's like the signs of the zodiac. I wish I had that kind of those functions on my TI-84.
Yeah, she was looking through the requirements for her high school AP Calc class, and nowhere did it say you must have a Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Mars key.
Okay.
Because depending on your astrological thing, which is one of the functions this does, you may not want to take the test that day. I'm sorry, teacher, I can't take this. And then we looked at its partner calculator, the Cosmos One, and noticed that it also did add, subtract, divide. You know, these calculators of the 70s, they only had so many buttons. I'm not sure what date, CS, B1, B2, R, and F, oh, reverse and forward. I get it. But this thing would also figure out your biorhythms, and Julie did not know what biorhythms were earlier today, so we did a little research.
What's that?
Biorhythms, for some of our younger listeners, are waveforms that are kind of like astrology. They're supposed to predict how you're feeling, your physical, are you on the high peak or a low peak of physical, mental, what were some of the other waves there were in there?
You mentioned
like
it
aesthetic
the other day, right?
And
yeah, there were primary and secondary. There's three primary waves, and I thought this was bunk, and I wanted to verify that. We went to a website. We just Google searched biorhythm generator, whatever it was, on Google, and came up with two or three different ones and tested them, and they came out the same. So apparently there is some bona fide logic of how you're supposed to start.
Even if it's junk science, consistent.
It's consistent bunk. Everyone agrees. Biorhythms can be trusted insofar as they can be trusted. But this has a great calculator on it. So why is it some days you feel like $1 million and others like small change? They even have an ad in here. The two images on the left are in the introduction to biorhythm section of the manual. It's got this lady in a long fur coat. The images on the right are two more pages convincing you that you've made a good buy. This is awesome.
It is awesome.
You got to love these old calculators. If you had an old calculator from the 70s, you got to go check this out. Oh, wait, we did find one that was rather minimalistic. Where was it, Julie? Was it the CERD? No. It had a few buttons missing.
Yeah, it was like...
One of these calculators only multiplied and divided. It did not add or subtract insofar as we could tell.
I guess if you could do those, needed help with those, maybe you already knew. I don't know what they were thinking.
Neither did we, obviously.
There was I did see one. I don't remember exactly what model it was. It was under the Texas Instruments one. It was like I want to say it was like the TI-30 or the TI-1200. It was like one of those type.
Was it that big fat monster one, Julie? The bone?
Oh, maybe.
No. There's one that looks like it's as big as the desk.
Yeah.
Probably was. Image not to scale.
Pocket calculators. Hey, a lot of fun in those calculators. You could spend many, many times, many, many hours going through there. But we're going to move on.
By the way, my first one I ever had, I talked my mom into letting me buy them, was a $19 credit card calculator that came out.
In the 70s, a lot of these, I should mention, were also LED. They were not LCD, so they chewed up batteries.
Yeah, and the one we had a red display, much like all the other ones. So.
Well, red or blue or green.
Mm-hmm.
They were emitting diodes. They were very bright. All right. Also in the very bright section are some retro stamps from the 1950s and 60s from all over the world. We've got stamps from the Soviet Union, when it was CCCP. And these are just beautiful. Many of them are canceled. I have no idea what currency they're in or how much they cost. But we've got the Soviet Union, Nigeria, peaceful use of outer space. The one that
but they also want you to invest in their space program.
I think there's one from Bosnia.
Nigeria, looks get like it? Hello, wait a minute.
Right. You won $1 million. Please send Dr. Botswana.
Don't pass up my joke that easy.
I got distracted on the next one from I think it's from Bosnia. Mm-hmm. It says Posta Romana on the bottom, but it looks like a lampshade got launched.
That's what I was going to say. That one, yeah, it looks like somebody sent a lamp. And
number six is interesting. I believe it's from East Germany. It says DDR on it, so that's my guess. It's the Leipziger Frühjahrsmesse, I guess, from 1966. Pardon my German, it's a mess.
Yes, it is.
But it looks like they put some old IBM 360 mainframe on this stamp. And this triggered a dream I had last night.
Okay.
Apparently, I worked in this four-story building, and the third story was dedicated to all the old hardware. You remember when we went to the Computer History Museum? We saw those guys in the back. They were tearing apart key punches and fixing tape drives and things.
The pseudo server room
that
they were working in?
That's kind of what my dream was about. And there were guys writing old COBOL code in this dream and whatnot. And apparently, I worked on the third floor in the old stuff section. I'm not sure what I did in this dream, but I said, I don't know COBOL. I don't know how to fix an old 360. You got me. So I don't know.
What are you doing here?
Apparently, there's some here? Subliminal insecurities going on. But yeah, I didn't remember that dream until I saw these stamps this morning. I went, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Actually, cool. I thought it was funny. That computer, you know, just the design of it. He hasn't even got a little typewriter off the side.
Yeah, typewriter. Like those old videos of the home computer of the future.
Yeah. Number eight, I think, is really cool.
Oh, yeah. The Israeli jet.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, just like the style
of
the...
We probably bought from the U.S.
Yeah, well, maybe.
The British Solomon Islands isn't terribly interesting, except it looks like a lightning bolt. Republic of Indonesia is proud of their trains from 1867 to 1967. And the, what is this one? The RP Romania, the Republic of Romania.
Telegraph.
I don't know if that's, is it a telegraph?
Telegrafuli. That's what it, telegraph, yeah.
Telegrafuli.
I read Romanian.
Yeah, sure you do. That could be a radio for all you know. All right.
Telegraph. That's what it is.
Well, we translate some Romanian. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with the media corner because we have a Futurama timeline that you won't believe. Some cool sci-fi themes on really slow that sound really cool. And more news about Futurama than you wanted to hear.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Up next, I hope you'll enjoy a skit by Pedro Sanchez.
When I came home from school, my head started to get really hot, so I drank some cold water, but it didn't do nothing. So I laid in the bathtub for a while, and I listened to Technorama, and I didn't feel so hot no more. Thanks, Chuck and Craig, for saving me from shaving my hair off again. To pay you back, I'm going to build you a cake.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
You look scared.
Before we go too much further, we want to remind you that the Summer of Podcasts continues. You can go over to Podcast Madness, find some great podcasts, enter your code word for Technorama, winners. Or is it winner? I'll go with winner, because there's only
winner.
One. You only want one. You are the winner. And enter that, and vote for us for, you know, cool podcast award thing. But great idea. Just share the love, and tell other people about that, too. I've been listening to The Geek... What is it? Oh, I can't remember. Gotta grab my phone. That's not on there right now. Geek Tech Live. That's what it is. Guys down in Milwaukee. And Chris Favreau, I believe it is. He's got a nice twice a week short podcast. Geek tech news stuff. Just plain and simple stuff. A couple stories here and a little bit of editorial. So check him out if you like tech news kind of stuff. Plain and simple. Straightforward guy. That's a good one to listen
to. What kind of news?
You know, Apple, Microsoft.
Oh, okay.
That sort of thing. Throws in a little editorial as well. He went to Comic-Con, so he had a little bit of that when he got back. He told his story about Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And next up, we have Futurama Timeline. This is incredible. Somebody has taken every date and event mentioned in every episode of Futurama and put it into a timeline. This thing is horrendously large. I'm not even going to try reading it, but we'll take one at random.
It's like, yeah, pick one and I'll pick one.
1980s, Zap Brannigan's favorite musical era. For me, there's only one 80s.
For me, yeah, that's funny.
What do you got? Your turn.
Here you go. August 6, 1991, Tim Berners-Lee announces the World Wide Web Project. According to Bender, its purpose is from the very beginning is the invasion of others' privacy. Well, guess what? Bender was right.
He was. 2865, the Sith invasion of Earth. More than 98 million people are killed. And some of these are really recent. I mean, they're taking things out of season 2, season 6.
I was going to say that the Sith thing, I just remember.
Yeah, that Civil War bit that they did.
Yeah.
Can I do one?
Uh-huh.
Mars University professor Fisher-Price Spiekenspiel proves that the cow says moo. He coasts on this achievement for the next 50 years.
I mean, that was in season 6, episode 8, That Darn Cats.
That's funny.
Spiekenspiel. It's even spelled. A lot of fun. You guys have been watching a lot of this, and some of these are from the extended movies too, like Bender's Game and what was it, The Thing with a Million Backs?
Yeah. The Beast with a Billion Backs.
That's what it is.
You know, I don't know about y'all, but they made those movies and split them up into episodes, so it was kind of doing a movie slash season at the same time.
Okay.
I didn't really like those as much as I liked the individual shows.
The one that I saw, Bender's Game, was kind of long. I mean, it took some attention to get through that thing. I mean,
that's what I was saying. Because all the stories are strung. I mean, the whole thing's strung together, and they split up into shows. But I don't know. It just didn't seem like it worked as well.
It was funny. But, I mean, they had.
There
were
some funny stuff.
We were laughing, but it was just. I'm not used to sitting through a Futurama that long.
I know. Right. I'm 22 minutes, and I'm in and out. Well, that's if you download it or watch it on Netflix. You
Squirrel.
Know. Oh, beer.
Craig's got a bit of an attention issue, but we'll move on from that. Thank you, Anthony East Bay Ant, for passing that one along. We also have, Craig found a doozy, 5 old comic book ads that tried to get children killed.
These are near and dear to my heart.
These are hysterical. And I was thinking, Craig, if you wouldn't mind, we could act out the second one with Captain, or number 4 with Captain Tootsie. But let's back up to number 5. We've got, apparently this is an ad for some kind of salve. The White Cloverline brand salve. Starts out in the...
Number 4?
We'll read that one all together in a bit. Julie's agreed to help.
Okay.
So in the first panel, I got, help, the gorilla is loose. There's this crowd screaming away from the gorilla's getting out of his cage at the zoo. Then you get this little boy with a toy gun and a little girl with a bow and arrow. Stand back, I've got a gun. And the girl says, get back. Someone in the crowd says, look, he's climbing back into his cage. That boy and girl saved our lives. You kids deserve a medal. Where'd you get that 22 rifle and that bow and arrow? We earned them selling White Cloverine brand salve. Wow.
Daddy's closet.
And the editorial in this article is beyond belief. That's right, kids. You can earn a rifle. A gorilla killing rifle. Start now. The rest of my life is narrowed down to two goals. Goal one is selling some salve or whatever. And goal two is killing gorillas from the back of my pony. This says, the fact that the gorilla immediately recognized the children's weapons means it's probably been shot many, many times.
He recognized the danger.
And where can, I want to go to a zoo. It'd be really cool to go to a zoo that leaves the gorilla cages open and let little boys and girls come fully armed.
Yeah.
It's great reading when you start reading it that way. Now, these are full-page ads with multi-panels that are doing nothing but selling a product. And the attention span kind of wanes when it takes them to, like, the eighth panel to hawk their wares. Yeah. Right? So, apparently, there was a superhero known as Captain Tootsie who sold Tootsie Rolls, although that's not what I found out. I didn't find that out until later. This is episode Captain Tootsie and the Radar Rescue. Craig, if you'd be so kind as to do the part of the professor, I'll be Captain Tootsie and the narrator, and Julie's going to be every kid possible. There's only three of them.
Okay. The professor. Okay.
Captain Tootsie and the Secret Legion visit the Mountaintop Observatory. There it is, men. Wait a minute, isn't there a girl in there? No. Men? The professor is going to let us help him watch for meteors by radar tonight.
That'll be swell, Captain Tootsie.
I see you have one of the latest type radar sets, Professor. Will you show us how it works?
Of course, Captain Tootsie. Come into the laboratory. You'll see the radar waves seep out into space and are reflected back to the receiving screen when they hit a meteor or another object.
Very interesting. And here's the viewing screen, eh, Professor?
Yes, I've turned it on already.
Look, I see something coming this way.
Here's what Captain Tootsie and his Secret Legion members see on the radar viewing screen. Looks like an airplane on a dinner plate, but we'll never mind that.
who am I? Oh,
your turn.
Is that me?
Yeah. Oh, it's hard to tell. There's no people in this panel.
A plane, but what is it doing up here in the mountains?
It's circling for a landing, but there's no place for it to land near here. Hello, airport. Blasted my radios out, and I'm
hello, airport.
I'm lost in the mountains, and I'm gonna try crash landing.
Oh, here's the sharp professor.
He's crashing in the valley below. The pilot will be buried alive.
Quit. This is my favorite part. This is how long it takes to get to the actual product placement. Quick, everybody, eat these Tootsie Rolls. We'll need lots of energy to save him. There go the tanks.
One minute.
You got us away just in time. Tootsie Rolls, only 2 cents. A good, wholesome candy with flavor all its own. Mm-mm. All right, now what's wrong with this picture? A, he's got 3 kids going to a crash site.
Well, they didn't really go. He went.
No, he said, quick, everybody eat these Tootsie Rolls. This isn't right. There's another Captain Tootsie one with Coonskin Charlie and the man-eating bear. And you have to go to page 2. I missed this first time around to look for cartoon number 2 and number 1. The amazing shocker. Have deadly self-defense power in your hand. Turn every chop into a karate chop. Because learning taekwondo and karate is too hard. So, and then another one is a placement for a series of books that teach you how to beat up bullies.
Hey, by the way, Claudio M. says it reminds me of Stinky Pete. That's real bad.
Stinky Pete, Coonskin Charlie. Dadgum, I feel like I could take on that bear single-handed. Now that
My biscuits are burning.
There's just some really funny lines, like the one from Coonskin Charlie where he's... what is the editorial on that one? It says... he kind of goes off on people who live in the mountains. Right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And
they're an easy target.
He says the writer of this sounds like he used his old bear killing story and threw in a real quick placement about Tootsie Rolls just to make the Tootsie Roll deadline.
Oh, so Captain Tootsie was actually in the woods with him?
Yeah. And they got this bear strung out and the lady's looking at it. Oh, it's lovely. It's funny. Just wrong on so many levels, but it's funny how people used to do this for ads. Oh, yeah. And he has his sniper scope, which actually has an infrared heat vision scope on it, which is nice to know back then.
He can see in the dark.
Right, right. Any man who carries around a yellow knapsack filled with Tootsie Roll hanging around with three kids just ain't right in my book.
Yeah. It's great.
All right. Sci-fi themes, another one I found this week. Very interesting stuff. Someone took some classic sci-fi themes and slowed them down. And I won't play all of them because one of them is over an hour long and we'd be here all night listening to them.
I don't think I've actually heard it. I didn't get to listen to it.
All right, then you have to tell me what you think this sci-fi theme is.
Okay. Listen, Star Trek.
Ooh, you're good. You are good. And you zip it ahead and you can hear him talking. Oh, I got it. All right, that one's pretty easy. It's not reduced in pitch, just in tempo. That's Shatner talking. Sounds like a Gregorian chant. All right, now tell me what this one is.
Hold on.
I don't think you're going to get this one.
Oh, well, I was going to say, well, I was thinking it, but I wasn't sure. Doctor Who.
That's Doctor Who.
Yeah, Geekazine said it, so.
It's an older one.
I just happened to see it.
He said DDR. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. See, if I'd have heard that, I'd have.
It's an older one, too. It's like the old Tom Baker version.
All right. Next.
Once you hear him, you can kind of. All right. This one takes an awful long time to get started. Come on. That's our show. Good night.
Star Wars.
Okay.
Star Wars?
Yeah, that was obvious for you. That one's 62 minutes by the time I slowed it down. And you think that beginning part is slow. Is long here?
Actually, they sound pretty cool. I have to go play some.
This would make, like, great haunted house music.
This one would.
Doctor Who would, too.
What is this?
This is still Star Wars. I just advanced it a little.
Oh, okay.
Up to 27 minutes. I was hoping to get the Imperial theme in here somewhere. I couldn't find it.
Yeah. What if you reversed it, you know?
All right, a lot of fun. You got to go check this out. Check out the show notes. I found this
Geekazine,
through
Ionet. Geekazine in the chat room asked if he reversed it.
And
you
know. Slow.
Darth Vader's the double.
All right. Now, you saw Futurama last week, right? Where they did the brain switching thing and they went back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Benda theory thing. Yep.
And apparently... The Harlem Globetrotters came in at the end to help them get everybody back in their right bodies, and I wasn't sure that was going to work.
All right. Yeah. Well, one of the writers of a Futurama, he's actually got a... here, I'll read the thing here. It says, in an APS News exclusive, Cohen reveals for the first time in the 10th episode of the upcoming season, tentatively entitled The Prisoner of Benda, A theorem based on the group theory was specifically written and proven by staffer PhD mathematician Ken Keeler to explain the plot twist. Cohen can't help but chuckle at the irony. Yeah, me too. His television writing rule is that entertainment trumps science, but in this special case, a mathematical theorem was penned for the sake of entertainment. I'll laugh too.
All the way to the bank. There was a time when I could do group theory, but Not today.
Yeah. Well, if you, but yeah, they had to do it because to kind of solve how, because when two of the people in, or two of the characters in the show swap, they couldn't swap back.
Right.
So they had to swap with other people and finally get back to their own personalities, which was kind of neat.
Yeah, because the first theory is you just get a third person and then you can put the brain in there, kind of like, you know, the old bubble sort algorithm where you use a temporary variable to switch two things around.
Too.
That won't work because two people, they could only switch once. So if Craig and I switched brains, which is a frightening thought in and of itself.
Wait till Dragon Con.
We wouldn't be able to switch back. Yeah, thanks for the warning. So this actually did work. They had, they said they had a line in the show that was really funny that said, "Oh no, we'll have to use math or something."
Yeah, yeah, and they and Bender went, or they all went, "Oh,
gasp!"
Yeah, 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 gasp!
All right. Speaking of Dragon Con, we want to remind you that we will be at Dragon Con. This is probably the last reminder you will get since this comes out on the 25th, and we'll be leaving. Oh, like the second. I think it is.
We have one more show.
Well, yeah, but I don't know they're going to get it in time. Not in time to make travel plans or whatever.
If you live in Georgia.
If you're going, I understand there's a tweet up at the Hilton at 5 p.m. on Friday. We will be doing room 204, Technorama Live. I've already started to collect some great stories for that.
I thought you were going to say cash in.
I was going to say that.
We're cashing in.
Friday, 10 p.m., right after Clinton and Friends does Comedy Forecast. Yeah, he's at 8, we're at 10. No, he's at 8:30 in room 204. And, you know, the, all the podcasting stuff is in 204. Hang around there. I think there's a little cafeteria just down the escalator. We're often found there and roaming around. We are going to also try and line up some interviews with some celebrities. That's one of our missions while we're at this thing, aside from being the entertainment. We want to get some...
Well, I would suggest if you get this show in time, go to the DragonCon.org website.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the guest list. And if you see somebody you want us to talk to specifically, let us know.
Scratch it down. Send an email. Let us know.
Call us.
Because we're going to go by what we can, you know, who's got the shortest line, basically.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's the guy that played Tweaky in, Buck Rogers. Yeah.
Let's talk to him. The voice of Dr. Theopolis.
I almost forgot about him.
There's the guy who was in the background of the red shirt who got killed.
Yeah.
We want to talk to you.
Was it? I was Guy. I was on episode 12. I got shot and...
I was the voice of Vol on Star Trek. Vol didn't have a voice. You got it. That takes care of this show. We're going to wrap it up. We appreciate you giving us your support. Hey, I checked out the listener line thinking that maybe K7 reassigned that number to somebody else. Nope, it's still ours and we still get messages. So if you're not calling, it's your fault, not ours. 206-222-CHAT. 206-222-2428. We want to hear from you. If nothing else, just tell us who you want us to talk to at Dragon Con or at least line up.
If you haven't called before,
call.
Do so now.
Yes. It's your...
If you have called before, do so
it's
now.
It's your civic duty. Or you can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. That's why you haven't heard that network show lately. There just hasn't been a whole lot. And if we don't get too many... Yeah, duty. If you don't get too many, we'll start incorporating them back into the regular show. How's that for a threat?
Well, you know, it is... Yeah, it is the summer.
Yeah, I know. I know. And
these people have to come back home at some point.
Yeah, right, to put new podcasts on your MP3 player and charge up your cell phone. So while you're out and about, you know, everybody's got cell phone minutes.
And they must have some killer
battery
life.
Enough dwelling on that. This show is running long again as much as we try to keep it short. Sorry about taking up so much of your time. We're going to keep going. We want to talk to you again next week. Until then, we want to give a special thanks to... We need the music. Come on, where's the music? There it is. Special thanks to Mad Marv for all the great blog content and Twitter comments. If you're not following Technorama on Twitter, why not? It's Technorama. Very tough to figure
out.
It's free. Yeah.
It's free there, too.
We get a lot of great stories during the week, and we can't fit them all in this show, so we're going to throw them on Twitter and on the website. And, you know, like we said, we're your tabloid. Subscribe. Get it for free. Ustream, they keep our modest live stream going on Sunday nights. Thank you. They also store this thing so you can watch it later. Farpoint Media, who takes care of all of our file storage. Go over to farpointmedia.com and check out all the great podcasts there. FinStack provides a chat room. Many, many thanks to all these people and more for keeping us up and running. Until next time, we want you to tell a friend about Technorama, and this time be nice about it. Thanks. Binary high five.
101, everybody. Woo, I'm going to Dragon Con.
Once again, science saves the day. The end.